Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. If you're anything like me, you want a successful, abundant business, epic energy, a growth mindset, vibrant health, and beautiful relationships. And this podcast sets out to help us achieve all of that together. I've been in the entrepreneurship arena for almost a decade now and have mentored hundreds of other business owners. So I know what goes on behind the scenes and what it takes to succeed. This podcast shares the tips, tricks, learnings, and lessons I lean on in order to blend the different facets of my life as an entrepreneur, author, wife, and mama to two gorgeous little humans. Let's jump in to today's episode. Hi, Philippa. Welcome to the Bold Darling Podcast.
Hello, Lorraine. Super excited to be here.
Oh, thank you. And we are talking about something that is of critical importance to female entrepreneurs. So I'm really, really excited to get into the topic of burnout with you today. I'm pretty sure every single one of the women I know in the Bold Darling community have experienced burnout to some degree, at least one point in their career. So I'm really, really excited to have this conversation with you today because I feel like it's a topic we talk about a lot. At burnout, but I feel like the solutions aren't as readily talked about. So yeah, glad awesome. To have you. Thank
so
you.
Exciting.
You're going to help us. So would you mind sharing a little bit about your background before you came to start your business?
Yeah. So originally I was just a studyaholic. For no other reason than I just wanted to get really good grades. That's where my burnout started. And so anyway, I ended up falling into a PhD when I was super young. And lectured and tutored at uni. So in a different background to what I am working in now. So back then it was more around creative writing, English literature, using words to transform the world, which has really helped with what I do now, but just in a very different way. And so that's what I was doing. And then I had children and my first baby was quite a traumatic birth. I had lots of antibiotics for about 3 months because my bladder just stopped working and I had
Sorry,
to have
that's
a,
tough.
Yeah, it was pretty
As
crazy.
As if having a new baby isn't enough to deal with.
I know, right? And then, and then an internal catheter. So I literally had no sensation to pee. Ended up in and out of hospital. So during that time, like not only physical assault to the gut, microbiome with all the antibiotics, but also just the stress of like trying to be a new mom while dealing with health issues. And I kind of recovered from that initial thing, but I just found every month a new health symptom started popping up. Like previous to that, although I can look back and see patterns of burnout starting to happen before I had kids, I was still functioning fine. But after children, it was like anxiety, then depression, then low immunity, catching all the colds and flus every 2 or 4 weeks, chronic pain in my body, chemical sensitivities, gut issues, hormonal issues, low libido, all the things. And so then that led me onto a journey to try and rebalance my body and my mind.
Great. Wow. You packed a lot in. And so when you say you had burnout, so can you just explain this to me? Because I know when we were chatting before we had this interview, you've mentioned the difference between imbalances and burnout. Could you just get straight into the heart of that? Because I feel like it's going to set the tone for this conversation.
Yeah, awesome. So a lot of people, like as you said before, throw around the word burnout. We've probably all experienced it to this some degree. We differentiate burnout just from like purely like a workplace or entrepreneurial burnout where you're just going hard and then you're feeling really exhausted and irritable. So what we specialize in is when you get to the point where you do burn out, but your body systems literally burn out as well. So like your neurotransmitters burn out, your adrenals burn out, you go into adrenal fatigue, or you start developing gut issues. So your gut lining starts getting eaten away literally by stress, leading to leaky gut, detox issues. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about body burnout. So not just like your burnout that, you know, you can recover from if you go on a holiday. If you have body burnout, you go on a holiday and you come back and you're still like, I can't do life still. I really don't want to get back to work. I can't get up in the morning. Or, you know, people like a lot of our clients are still functioning, still only, you know, running their businesses, but they're just like brain fog is showing up, mental clarity, full on anxiety, mood imbalances. And a lot of people think about that when we think about burnout, but I also highlight other symptoms. So if people are starting to develop rashes or skin issues or bloating or diarrhea to the point where you're too scared to go out shopping because you don't know where the next toilet's going to be. Mm. These are all signs that your body systems are literally burning out and you've got some pretty significant imbalances happening in your body.
Mm. Okay, got it. Thank you. And I know this is probably a how long is a piece of string question, but how long does it generally take to burn out? Does that make sense? Like if you've been going hard in your business for maybe 2 years, for it, like as in the last 2 years have been very intense. Mm. How long does it generally take to get to that point where you're like, okay, because you hear a lot of women say, and I remember Sarah Wilson talked about this many years ago when she had her experience of which sounds like body burnout. Mm. And she just woke up one morning and she just couldn't get out of bed. Like it wasn't happening. How long does it generally take to get to that point where your body pretty much just starts to shut down and says, enough, I'm done?
Mm. Look, if I go back to I feel like I started burning out right from the age of 7. But for me, physiologically, in terms of I just really felt like I couldn't function very well. Was how old was I? 28. So it's different for everyone. It's more about the accumulation of stresses. So our nervous system is pretty hardy. And so when we're triggered by different stresses, and that could just be like for me as a kid, I didn't have any trauma. I had a lovely upbringing, but it was more little thoughts and feelings and beliefs I had about myself that just caused me to be super shy and anxious and not respond to kind of like stresses or even just social situations very effectively. And so our nervous system can bounce back. It's more to the point when the nervous system just gets overloaded by stress chronically, or if there's a really high amount of stress in a short period of time. So I guess for me, like having my baby, having the kind of like the very physical structural health issues after having a baby, it was just the straw on the camel's back. But it was a very big straw, which then led to the burnout. So, yeah, it's a hard question to answer. I feel like when we work with clients, we really go right back to childhood. It's like, where were the patterns? Where have the patterns even started? Because if we want to end body burnout and not just get physical healing happening, but so that you're going to have good health for the rest of your life and things aren't going to continue flaring up, going right back to where it all started, to when you started noticing patterns of, like for me, it was high achieving, perfectionism, type A type personality. And I know a lot of women who own their own businesses kind of have that personality or that programming because we're super passionate and we want to make a big impact. And that's not bad until it is. Like that's not bad until it is for your health.
Yeah. It's so interesting you say that about the childhood modeling. I just recently completed the Hoffman process, which is dives very deep into your childhood patterns and where they came from. And also we specifically talked around the family roles that you play. So whether you're the scapegoat or the rebel or, you know, all the different family roles that you can have. And I was really reflecting on it during that particular session as part of the whole week-long process around how many of my community, whether it's my one-on-one mentees or my Bold Darling community, who have that good girl role, like that kind of, we show up as the good girls, you know, I don't want to let anyone down. I said I'd do it, therefore I'm going to do it. Even if I'm feeling really sick, I'm going to go push through and get this job done for the client, whatever it might be. So I think there's the good girl, but then the other role that I think comes into play here is, you already touched on it, is the achiever.
Yeah.
Yeah. The straight A's, the perfectionist, I'm going to really nail this. So I think you almost need an element of both of those to be in business. But then it's that whole thing of your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. Then they become our weakness when we do keep pushing and showing up, trying to please people, trying to push ourselves through almost like the invisible pain barrier that we have. And then it leads to burnout. So I really love that you touched on that childhood element, because I think that's where all of our patterns come from and our conditioning.
Yep, 100%.
And how do you undo that? So I know we'll talk a lot more around the support that we can give our physical bodies. When you're having those conversations with clients, where do you refer them to, or what work do you do with them as practitioners to help them? It's really unlearning probably decades worth of conditioning, isn't it?
It really is. Look, we take a two-pronged approach too. So sometimes people are in a state where it just feels too overwhelming to go back to the dark past or to even take responsibility that we've created this.
Yeah.
And so usually like our first process is let's just get really clear on body systems first, because that's like quick wins. We do special functional lab testing that looks at microbiome, your brain, your adrenal hormones, your detox pathways, things that go beyond what GPs and medical specialists test for. which is great if you've gone to the doctor and they're like, oh, your tests are fine. When you're like, I don't feel fine. That happened to me. They're like, are you just a mom? I'm like, I am not just a mom. I have friends who are moms who don't feel like I do.
Yeah.
So we do that first because that like validates as well that it's not just all in your head. So, which is really important, I think, when you have been sort of just palmed off by maybe the medical system or even your partner or your family. They're just like, oh, just get over it. You know, you don't have a disease. You don't have
cancer. Sleep when the baby sleeps or whatever it might be. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so from there, it's like, all right, let's start supporting these body systems really specifically. So that's with like, you know, targeted natural supplements, special healing diets, all that sort of stuff to get people into a space where they can then do the root cause work. And so going back to your question around programming and patterns, how do I answer that? Well, it's like first step is just taking like acceptance. It's acceptance that I created this because some people, the way I used to practice was only physical. And I just found that people did get good results, but it was only short term because it was almost like, oh, this has happened to me. I'll externally take something and put something inside my body and I'm going to be all better. Mm. And it would only last, like for me, it lasted 5 years when I did physical healing, but then COVID 2020 happened. All my health issues popped up again. And this time the physical healing did not work at all. It's like, holy crap. So that's where I was just like, there's something else. Like there's a deeper root cause here that goes beyond just like the physical body and diets and exercise and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so for me, like I actually got my own coach because I'm like, I need to do this work. If I want to end body burnout and that is like my mission and my message to the world, then I've got to do it first and foremost for myself and get to the deepest root cause. So it was acceptance first that it's like, oh, okay, yeah. So it wasn't actually the pregnancy or the babies or the antibiotics, although they were all part of the picture of why my body systems burnt out in the first place. But it was also awareness that, okay, yeah, if I'm really honest, I've got dysfunctional patterns showing up. Like I run around like I used to, run around like a chook without her head on, trying to do all the things. I probably wasn't so much a people pleaser, but I was very much like my worth was validated by what I could do. And so, you know, it will show up in different ways for different people. So just seeing like present state where your patterns lie. And then it's like, well, where did that all start? Like, when did you first feel like that? And then we are very big on belief systems as well. So in order to have a behavior that then leads to a health issue, the machine that drives that behavior are the beliefs you have about yourself.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the deepest root cause. I would say in like 98%, if not 100% of all people with health issues that it like comes down to that. So then getting really clear on that, where that started for me, I was a little girl in church. I was going to a little high achiever even back then, but I wanted to not read my talk, my little 1 minute talk, but I wanted to recite it. And so I got up and I was so excited. Can I do it perfectly? Got up there, mind went blank, couldn't remember anything, burst out crying. And probably the worst thing was I had to continue sitting on the stage with 100 people looking at me while I'm like sobbing. And all the other little kids got up and did their 1 minute talks perfectly. So, you know, it was like a memory like that, which is very like innocent. You actually see that happening to a lot of kids. It wasn't like I was sexually abused or anything. But from that moment, anything else that happened where I was humiliated or rejected or felt embarrassed, it was like, oh yeah, there must be something wrong with me. There must be something wrong with me. And then I just started creating these dysfunctional patterns that led to body burnout.
Wow, thanks for sharing that. My heart went out to you. Like I could just see our little girl sitting up there and like me crying alongside her. So do you think that female entrepreneurs are more likely to suffer body burnout than male entrepreneurs?
Yes.
That's purely anecdotally. I'm not expecting you to have a survey in your back pocket.
Well,
on that.
You know what? We actually were a national finalist for the Telstra Best of Business Awards this year in Accelerating Women.
Congratulations. So, that's huge.
Thank you. And so I did, and I'm also writing a book kind of around this topic as well. And so I have done a lot of research actually around that. And it is very clear that this happens more to mums with businesses or like working, juggling all the things in comparison to dads. And there's many reasons for that. But one of the things that I was just like, what was there with this study that even after, so it's going back to old traditions of the woman is the house carer and the child carer. And there was a research study that showed that more women, like even after they have babies, so a mum, let's just say like a husband and a wife, or, you know, man and a woman, have children, both working full time, more women are still doing the bulk of the home caring, even though the man is just working the same amount of hours. Mm-hmm. And like those little things are still like embedded in our culture.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, gender inequality stuff that's going on, that's again like programming right back from when you're a kid, mm-hmm. watching how families should behave. So that's one thing. I think too, like, we have big hearts, men do too, but I do find that women struggle to switch off as well. So just talking to, because we work with mums and dads, and I find that the men with businesses can much easily switch off from their business as opposed to women. And then women are also thinking about, all right, I got to do the shopping, got to make the lunches. So it's almost like we just have so many mental tabs open.
I talk a lot. I actually wrote about it in my third book. Yes, it's called Baby, You're Remarkable, and it's all about how to build a business while having a family. And I talk of a whole chapter on the mental load in there, which was a term I wasn't really familiar with until a little bit before I started writing that book. And it's that, it's the 2 a.m. list. As we're recording this, it's coming into Christmas time. And I've got like a mental tally in my head of like all the Christmas things that need to happen. And it's just, it's a mental load I feel that women get saddled with more than men do. And, you know, that's, as you said, there's such a strong link between what's happening in our minds and what's happening in our bodies. So if our minds are struggling and almost like hamsters on a wheel trying to keep up with everything going on mentally, of course, that's going to have an impact on our bodies, isn't it?
Yeah. And just like even like a bit of science, like literally when you're in that state, you're producing more adrenaline, which is a brain chemical, and the stress hormone cortisol. And both of those will be produced when the tiger is chasing you. And your body doesn't recognize stresses like differently. So it's like, oh, there's a snake that I'm about to tread on. Or, oh, my child is, I don't know, my kids are having a tantrum. Your body still responds to it as if you're in danger, which is pretty intense when it's like chronic.
Yeah. And am I right in saying that over time adrenaline turns into cortisol? Is that how it works? Probably way more scientific than that.
Yeah, well, they're actually produced in the adrenals. No, they don't turn into each other. One's a stress hormone, one's a brain chemical, but it's more that they start to deplete over time.
Got it.
Which becomes really dysfunctional. Like, actually, people get more stressed and overwhelmed the less they're producing those hormones over time and brain chemicals.
Yes, got it. Because the body's creating the hormones to support itself, and then when the body can't create those anymore, then it starts to feel the effects of what's going on more and more.
It's almost like at some point. Yeah, kind of the same as diabetes. I always liken it to diabetes. Like, people go into diabetes if there's too much blood sugar in their body, can't produce insulin at the same amount. So eventually the brain, it's more of the brain. The brain just is like, all right, let's just give up. We're not controlling it anyway. So we're going to protect our resources is what it's about.
Yeah, that makes sense. And is body burnout adrenal fatigue? Is that one and the same thing or not?
Yes. Yeah. So body burnout. So we look at three different body systems. So the neuroendocrine system, which is around your adrenals and your sex hormones and your brain and your mitochondria, then looking at the gut and then looking at the detox pathways. So yeah, body burnout, one of the causes, surface level causes, could be that you have adrenal fatigue for sure.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And do you feel that from the women that you see in your practice, do you feel like a lot of those women are new moms? Like, what's kind of average age range of the kids who do, the kids of the women who do present to you for help?
All ages. We really like working with, I don't know if you like this term, but midlife women. Midlife.
Okay.
Midlife, kind of like late 30s, 40s, because not a lot of attention is given to these women. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, you know, care for women during, before, after birth, which is a whole different ball game in and of itself. But we really love working with mums who are in later stages where their kids actually are at school now, whether that's primary school or high school. Yet they're still experiencing signs like almost like postnatal depletion, but it's still like, you know, the youngest is now 10 kind of thing.
Yes.
Or five. It's like, well, I'm sleeping all the night through now. Why am I still feeling like I did when I first had the baby?
Yeah. I was talking to friends at a dinner party a few months ago, and they were saying, they call it the groan zone of 0 to 4, like when kids are 0 to 4. And I was like, oh my God, that is so brutal, but so true as well. So I think, I get that, you know, women whose kids are out of the grown zone and they're still like, what the hell? Like, what's going on? I still feel like I did when I was a new mom. Like, there's something not quite right.
Yeah.
Got it. And what are the symptoms? So you've talked about the fact that we could have these imbalances and we're not, our body isn't creating the stress hormones that it needs to create, or the brain chemicals in cortisol's case. What do you see as the biggest symptoms? Like, if you were to list kind of 10 to 15 of the key symptoms that someone might be approaching, if not that they're already at body burnout, what would they be?
Okay. So energy, mood, gut issues, big three.
Energy?
So by energy, that could be energy, mood, and gut issues.
Yes. So and how do we know we've got energy issues? I mean, that's an obvious one, but I feel like I should ask you.
Well, you know what? Actually, we did a webinar last week with a group of business owners, and it was interesting because they're like, oh, no, we're fine. We don't have burnout. And then I started listing like little things. It's like you may not be to the point where you're feeling dysfunctional, but these are also signs that you're in the space and you want to get to work on your health before it leads to something bad. So yeah, so energy issues would be, well, chronic fatigue would be kind of like the end result of that. But also too, it could just be like, oh, I slept all night, but I feel like I've woken up and I've been hit by a bus. What's going on? It could also be sleep issues as well. So struggling to fall asleep, stay asleep, maybe mind is going crazy or you're just waking up for no reason, which is going to lead to energy issues. It could be the afternoon slumps or even just like getting to 6 or 7 o'clock and like, I need to go to bed now. It's like, I feel like a child again. So they're energy ones, and brain fog, I would clump into energy as well. Mood imbalances would be like on the lower end of the spectrum would be depression, anxiety, but it could also be mood imbalances. It might be like, I'm way more snappy than what I used to, or I'm not responding to stresses the way that I used to, or like the smallest things are now triggering me, or I'm just constantly feeling overwhelmed. Or sometimes it's even a feeling in the body, like it's chest tightness and like you can't breathe properly. Like that's definitely a sign that you're in nervous system dysregulation. And then gut issues would be, so heartburn, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, gut pain. And then just other kind of like, I wouldn't call them weird, but other inflammatory symptoms. So especially for women, PMS, infertility, if you're a bit older, like perimenopause, hot flushes type things. Actually, I see that in women in 32 where you're like, you're not in menopause yet, but you're already getting these hot flushes and menopausal type symptoms. That's not normal. PMS is also not normal. A lot of people think it is normal, but it's not at all. You should just get
your period. Could you speak to that for a moment? Because I think it is kind of like, oh, this is just, you know, the cross I need to bear as a woman. Can you just talk to PMS for a moment? Because I do think it's very much just accepted. And of course, like this is just, I've always been like this and this is who I am. But I know I've got certain like people that I work with in my community and it really shows up for them in a big way. Like basically 2 weeks of the 4 weeks, they're not themselves. Would you mind just speaking to PMS? What are the symptoms classically of PMS?
Yeah. So emotionalness, like feeling like you're going to cry at the drop of the hat, irritability, anxiety, breast tenderness, like pimples, acne. Some women also get flare-ups of eczema or psoriasis if they kind of have that underlying. Oh, headaches, migraines. They're kind of
I've seen that in a big way in my community over the last few months, like getting really hormonal, like every month hormonal headaches, like migraines.
Yeah. And it is crazy when it's 2 weeks of your life, you know, it's 50% of your life.
Debilitating.
Yeah. Which gets really hard. So, yeah. So none of that is normal. So I had a history even prior to kids with PCOS. So I had like a lot of hormonal issues and infertility. And I used to think that it was normal too to get like emotional, like I used to cry at all the things, smelly as well, like BO. Sometimes you can just get really smelly leading up to your period. And not a lot of women kind of like see that or have connected that with a hormonal issue.
Interesting, yeah.
That was one of mine. And so then I've also had like some beautiful periods too, like periods, both in time but also period, where it's just like, wow, I had no idea unless I was tracking that I'm about to get my period because I just had a wonderful week leading up to the period. Maybe if like I am very in tune with my body, so I can kind of see like very subtle signs that it's like, oh yeah, something's coming. But yeah, you should just be able to bleed. But probably like the biggest cause of hormonal issues is stress, and it's very much connected to adrenal fatigue as well. So sometimes women might go and get like a supplement for female hormones, but it's not going to do a lot if you're not actually addressing what's actually putting pressure onto your female hormone production in the first place.
Yeah, it's more of a band-aid solution than anything.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's probably quite a few people listening to this, women listening to this going, oh, my God, I'm ticking so many of these boxes and having their own private freak out, whether it's on their walk or driving the car or listening to this in the kitchen or as they're getting ready for work. What would you say to anyone who's feeling, I'm always very mindful of not glossing over these things because every single symptom that you've talked about is life-changing for the woman that's experiencing it on the daily or on the monthly. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone who's listening to this going, oh, I think I'm really headed towards burnout, like I'm not in a good place?
I would like learning to listen to your body is the like number one thing because your body is always fighting for you, not against you, which is really important to understand because a lot of women or people in general, when they have health issues and pain, they're like, oh, I hate this. This is so annoying. This must be something wrong with me. But one, like you can reframe that. It's like, okay, I'm getting this thing. I'm getting this symptom. I'm getting this feeling in my body. What if this is actually an act of love? What if this is actually a message from my body and even like deep in my unconscious state that something is seriously out of whack? And that could be physical, but it's often also mental, emotional, and on the unconscious level. And so number one is like, because a lot of, especially business owners, I think push through. It's like, oh, well, you know, if I fall, everything falls. And so a lot of the times women do put aside how they're feeling or they put other people first, especially their kids or their clients. So I would say like take some space just to listen to the messages from your body. And the beautiful thing is if you're still functioning, if you're still able to work and get up and parent and all that sort of stuff, then like now is the best time to actually address those things before they get too bad because the body will continue talking to you and at some point it will start screaming at you when it's like you are in danger and we need to address this.
Yeah. I love the idea of the feather, the brick and the truck. You know, if you, first of all, you get a little feather, which is like a little tickle, and then you just brush it away. It's easy to brush away. And then if you continue to do that, then you get the brick. And then if you continue to that, then you get the truck. I had someone in my community a few months ago. She has been, I would say, on the brink of burnout for 2 to 3 years at this point. She's very, very close, I think. And as you know, in my professional medical opinion, and I got a message from her a few months ago saying that she had to present at accident and emergency because she was having heart pain, it was chest pain essentially, and it really freaked her out. And I think it's avoiding getting to that point, isn't it? It's about okay, how can we get on top of these things sooner so that they don't have to evolve into a brick or into a truck.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how do we get the help? So if someone's listening to this, going crap, like I really don't feel like I'm in a good spot. And sounds, I'm a grade A candidate for this body burnout that Philip is talking about. What should that person do to get some help?
Yeah. I mean, like there's, if you just kind of want to do DIY stuff, there's a bunch of things that you could be doing in your life to nourish and support your body. So just making sure you're drinking lots of water, like at least 2 liters a day, low processed foods, lots of healthy whole foods, and like sleep, I think like your body repairs and recovers when you're asleep. So if you're staying up too late because, I don't know, you're trying to meet deadlines or whether they're imaginary or real, often they're imaginary when we have businesses, then like I would 100% just prioritize a really good sleep routine, good solid 8 hours a night. If that doesn't quite work, for some people that does. For some people that's enough just to get their own body rebalancing and healing. If you need some actual like outside help in terms of a practitioner, I mean, you could, if you haven't gone to the GP, I always think like going to the GP first is great because you want to rule out anything nasty. Like it would be a horrible surprise if you went down the whole like natural holistic healing and then a year down the track you were diagnosed with cancer. So I would just get a good thorough check with the GP. Depending what comes up with that, often it's not a lot for most people. Then I would seek out a functional medicine practitioner, but also someone who looks at it holistically. So if you're noticing when we were talking about patterns and programs that you're like, yeah, I do have some of those. I do see that it's probably not just a physical thing and the root cause might be deeper than physical. Then finding someone who does like a holistic approach so that you're not just getting short-term benefits, but it's actually going to set you up for long-term healing that lasts for life.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like there's a lot of cynicism around GPs that they don't take burnout seriously, because I know it's a hard thing to diagnose as mm-hmm. well, which I'd love to talk to you a bit more about in this conversation. But I do love the idea of going to rule out anything more sinister, because as you mm-hmm. said, that would be an awful situation to be treating something and not realizing there's something much more deeply rooted. There was something with the much deeper roots happening underneath it. Yeah. In early COVID and early 2020, I started to get these crazy night sweats. And of course, I hit up Dr. Google, completely diagnosed myself with cancer. And I was really panicking, and it was like a self-fulfilling, it was like a chicken and egg thing. Like I would get so stressed and then I would sweat even more at night. Mm-hmm. It was awful. And I went to the GP and I had blood tests done. And she said, look, there's nothing more sinister going on. I don't really know. She couldn't tell me what was happening. Yeah. And I actually started seeing an acupuncturist like religiously, and that completely turned around my health. So, you know, that whole idea, what you're saying is maybe this is an act of love. Like I was so frustrated with my body for putting me through those night sweats, but actually got me into the best physical health that I'd been in for quite a few years before that. Yeah. And then when we started trying for a baby, we got pregnant very, very quickly. And I credit so much of that to the acupuncture and the other lifestyle changes that I was making. So I really respect you for saying that. Thank you. Just to say, go to the GP, check there's nothing more sinister going on.
Yeah.
How do you find generally GPs? Because that will probably be most of listeners' first stop would be to go to their GP. How do you find GPs generally do respond to burnout?
Depends on the GP.
Yeah.
There are some really awesome ones. And we have a few in our network too who are constantly referring clients to us or patients to us, who see the benefit of like the medical tests are only like part of the toolkit.
Mm.
And then it's like, all right, well, there might be something else going on. So, but I do find, generally they would do, especially a woman who has children, you will usually run like a thyroid test, maybe B12, vitamin D, iron levels, because they can definitely be sources of anxiety, depression, fatigue. But if you're showing up with strong mood imbalance symptoms, generally they don't actually test. They often just, here's an antidepressant.
Yes, I can see that. Yeah.
Which can be life-saving for some people. Like if you're in a point where you are just not coping, like again, I'm not against all medication, but it's like a band-aid, because what if it's actually coming from parasites from your gut? That was the case for me with anxiety, actually. Like literally antidepressants would not have helped because it was parasites. Yeah. And so I would like, I'm a big advocate when we're working with our people too. It's like, hey, we're just the guides, but you guys are the experts. You're the healers. Like we want to teach you to become your own healer. So you're super connected with yourself. So if your first up is the GP and you kind of get the, oh, everything's fine. Like I wouldn't take that as an answer. It's like, okay, cool. Well, I've ticked that off as a first step. Don't have anything really bad that's going to be chronic or like death worthy. It's like, all right, well, what do I do now? Because I can feel inside myself and the messages that my body is sending me is that things aren't right.
Mm. Yeah.
And then look down the more like natural holistic route.
Yeah. And how is the best way to find a holistic practitioner if this is all a new space for you? And obviously it's a very broad space as well, because you've got holistic GPs right through to acupuncturists, to naturopaths, to nutritionists, to dietitians. Like it's a very confusing space. And arguably you could see all of those people.
Yeah, I guess it depends. I guess it depends where you're at in your journey and what you're willing or wanting to do. So, and also too, like gravitating to people that you resonate with. So I love what you have done in your business, Lorraine, in terms of like niching down to help, not just as a marketing strategy, but literally so that you can give your best gifts to the right people.
Thank you.
And so that's why, like, I guess also too have sort of narrowed our focus down. So rather than trying to treat everybody, it's like, well, this is what we're really good at. And finding someone like that. So, you know, if you do have something, I'm going to throw out some weird stuff like Lyme disease or something, then find someone who specializes in Lyme.
Mm.
Or if it's an autoimmune condition like a thyroid, a Graves disease or something, maybe find someone like that. Or if it's like, oh my gosh, that practitioner experienced everything. So I know a lot of women come to me because it's like, oh wow, yeah, I had all those symptoms too. And I felt really crap after having babies. And I'm now like 10 years into my parenting journey and I still feel crap. Or I've tried the physical stuff and it worked, but now it's not working anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like finding the practitioner that not only like has the certification, but that has been where you are now.
Yes.
And has the process and the system that will get you to what you want. as opposed to just kind of like doing a random Google and it's like, oh yeah, that person's closest to me. I'll go to that person.
Yeah. Thank you. Something I would love to touch on before we wrap up is the importance of relationships in reducing and preventing burnout. So I know when I talked about that time when I was having the night sweats and I felt like that was my kind of one of my experiences of near burnout, it came at a time when my husband's business was very badly affected by COVID and he was very, very stressed, understandably, about that. And of course, living in pandemic, what the hell is going to happen next type thing. But I can see that, and over, like if I was to track back, you know, over the last couple of decades, I can see that when my intimate relationship, so right now, obviously that's right now, it sounded very temporary, didn't it? My current husband, you know, in my relationship with Wade, when we're good, it gives me so much resilience to deal with anything else that might come my way. When we're not good, it is the very opposite. Like I feel like I'm just operating at 50% of my capacity. So I'd love to just touch on the impact and the potential of our intimate relationships to support us in times of, you know, burnout, but also with our relationships with friends, like having a community that we feel like we can be held by and we trust and that love us and we feel really supported by. Would you just touch on that in your experience with your own experience also, but also with your clients? How do our relationships come to play in this whole body burnout situation?
So much. So much. Well, if you think about the deepest root cause is a broken relationship with yourself, then it's highly likely that you'll have broken relationships with every person that you come in contact with, which is a big source of stress. And it will show up in weird ways too. It could be like martyrdom, people pleasing. It could be that you're triggered by the person that you love the most. So that happened with my husband. Initially, when I first fell sick, so that was about 10 years ago after the first baby and then the second baby, there were a lot of relationship issues. Like we were probably on the brink of divorce, if I'm being really honest. Mm. Which also drove me to like, holy crap, I'm going to lose like the thing that I love the most. Mm-hmm. I have to get myself well. And then all was pretty good. And then Chris and I, so that's my husband, and we're also business partners, but we've been on similar burnout journeys, but we kind of attacked it a different way. So I went like the physical route first, and Chris, my husband, took more of the like inner mental emotional, he ended up becoming an NLP practitioner side of things. And so when COVID happened and all my health issues flared up again, and I just only had the physical stuff to try and heal myself, like in my toolkit, and it didn't work. And then Chris was there, like having the exact same experience as me in COVID, and he was like loving life. He's like, this is the best ever. And so then what happened is then we joined forces and we became a business, Chris and Philly Functional Medicine rebranded. It was so hard initially because my body was kind of at a state of stress again. Everything that he said or did, his very big vision, was just triggering me and frustrating me. And we ended up, you know, always having fights and in our business meetings, and we weren't really being very productive at all. So, and then that obviously caused more stress and more adrenaline and more cortisol and like more body burnout, to the point where I'm like, okay, things aren't as bad as what it was 10 years ago, but holy moly, it could lead to that again.
Yes.
And so that's where like first and foremost, I was just like, again, took full responsibility. I'm like, a frustration with others is always a frustration with yourself is like my little saying now. And so I could see that, okay, I'm being triggered by you because you're making me feel unsafe because I don't feel like I'm strong or capable to do the things that you want to do in our business. And so that was first, I don't know if this is answering your question, but it was like connecting back to myself and believing in myself and restoring my own relationship with myself. Then had just like naturally this beautiful carry-on effect with my relationship with my husband and my children and even all our clients and my friends and family. And so it was almost like I sort of did it the opposite way. It was almost like I went inwards and then outwards.
Yes.
To then get, does that make sense? So I don't know if I really answered the question.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing. Yeah. And I do, I think businesses put a huge amount of pressure on relationships. And there's a reason that a few months ago in my Bell Darling membership group, we had Robert, who's myself and Wade's relationship therapist, who I swear is a magician. He's incredible.
Yeah.
And we had him as our expert because I know the power of when myself and Wade's relationship is good, it is like the best thing for my business and the best thing for everything, of course, like our families, everything. Mm. So I think that's really powerful to talk about that. Can we just touch on before we finish up the power of friendships then as well? So having close relationships with other women, How do you see that kind of transpiring? Do you find that when women present to your practice with body burnout or close to body burnout, do you see that as a pattern that maybe they don't have the female friendships around them?
Yeah, I think so. I'm a massive introvert. I don't have a lot of friends, but I have a lot of people that raise me up. So I think for me, like in different areas, so like joining like a business group of women was amazing and is amazing in terms of not just like for your business, but for your mental health as well, I think, because then you see that other people are, you know, have your same struggles, but also too, like everyone's got your back, and we do live in a country that's very tall poppy syndrome. So when you can find those groups, it's like, it can be life changing. It really can. And also, I guess if you're a very like introvert for, like me, and I am a bit of a homebody, and I actually am probably like my own best friend, but I also need connection with others. So like I actually find like paying for a group of like-minded women is actually like what fills my cup up. And then also just like for me too with friends, it's probably more like my extended family. So my sisters and my mum and my brother, and like carving out time to spend time with them, just having fun. And also like even with my children as well. So I feel like that's really important. And I'm just kind of thinking about some of our women who are probably a bit more extroverted but haven't had or have almost had those friendship groups cut off because they've had kids or they're busy in their business or in their career and they just don't have time for connection. And it like shows up in all areas too. It's not just health. It's also often they're not then connected with their partner or their children very effectively. So, yeah, I mean, like we share energy. Like really like body burnout is a depletion of like energy, body, mind and spirit.
Yes.
And so when you can have like meaningful conversations, and even like sometimes this is like a bit weird, I would do it only with very close family, but like I put my hand on their chest, you know, it's like touching their heart, like just tell me how you're feeling. And like I get buoyed up by that. So it's so important.
We're social animals, you know, we love that connection, we thrive off that connection. And I know from my own experience when I've had my own brushes with burnout that the friendships, when I get busy, like the business gets busy, home is busy, the friendships are the first thing that goes. And same as you, I'm a raging introvert. So then I start to tell myself the story of, well, you're really depleted and you're tired. You need time on your own to charge up rather than time with other people, which is obviously how extroverts recharge. And I feel like I really cheated myself out of connections with friends for both those reasons. And I know for me now, I've got a walk. I walk with three friends a week. So I have a walk with one friend on a Monday. I walk with another friend on a Tuesday morning, another friend on a Thursday morning. And that is so enlivening and energizing. And just to go for a walk with someone else who, and I think there's something about the power of when you're walking with someone else as well. Like they're really good conversations. And just to come back and just feel, like I'm set for the day. I think it's been something that I've missed, I think, for a lot of the last couple of decades because, you know, business is busy and I'm busy. And really taking the time to nurture those female friendships is so powerful. And I think I would have given myself a much easier time of it in terms of burnout and exhaustion if I had been prioritizing that more in recent years. So I was keen to touch on that with you.
Yeah, I love that. Actually, a little like affirmation that is constant with me is like it's safe to be slow. It's safe to be connect. Because often I, you know, it probably was the story. It's like, oh, I'm an introvert, so I don't need other people. But actually the real story was that if I stop working, all the balls are going to smash and everything's going to come crashing down. So I can't carve out a bit of time to spend time even with my child when it was quite dysfunctional. And so like it's safe to connect. It's safe to be slow.
I love that. That's safety and connection. I totally hear you on that. I feel like we've covered a lot of ground. Is there anything you feel like we have missed or anything that you feel like is like a burning topic that you want, a burning point that you want to make that maybe we haven't gotten to cover yet?
I think we have covered everything.
Nice one. Thank you. In closing then, can I ask you to share, Philippa, what's one thing that anyone listening can immediately do to support their health better?
Oh, just like listen to your body. I was going to say love yourself, but that's actually really hard to do. But first step is like just that listen to your body as if it is your best friend. even if it's a pain signal, especially if it's a pain signal, listen to your body.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, my dear. That's awesome. And we'll obviously pop all the links and so on to your business in the show notes so people can come find you on your website and also on Insta as well. Thank you so much for joining me. I love the work you're doing. It's just so incredibly important. So thank you. Keep showing up for it.
Thank you so much. I love the chat.
Please do remember to subscribe to the podcast so you don't ever have to miss an episode. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, and requests for future topics on what I share here on the show. So please do reach out via my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au, or connect with me on Instagram at lorrainemurphymentor. I would also love if you could rate and review the podcast, as it helps even more brilliant listeners like you find the show. Thank you so much again for listening this week.